Okay, well, I'm going to read a couple of verses, and yeah, we can just start with God. So today is November 29th. So it says, let me infuse my peace into your innermost being. Mm. We need that, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's my favorite devotional, too.
Okay, yes, mm-hmm. Right. Huh?
You said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As you sit quietly in the light of my presence, you can sense peace growing within you. This is not something that you accomplish through self-discipline and willpower. It is opening yourself to receive my blessing. In this age of independence, people find it hard to acknowledge their neediness. However, I have taken you along a path that has highlighted your need for me, placing you in situations where your strengths were irrelevant and your weaknesses were glaringly evident. Through the aridity, meaning the desert experience, of those desert marches, I have drawn you closer and closer to myself. You have discovered flowers of peace, blossoming in the most desolate places. You have learned to thank me for hard times and difficult journeys, trusting that through them I accomplish my best work. You have realized that needing me is the key to knowing me intimately. Once again, you have realized that needing me is a key to knowing me intimately, which is the gift above all gifts. Yeah. You have realized that needing me is the key to knowing me intimately. Isaiah 58 says, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. And Isaiah 40 says, he tends his flocks like a shepherd, or his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Amen. Okay, so we'll pray and keep that in our hearts throughout this day and this podcast. Amen. Yeah. Thank you for being here, guys. So exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah. So God, I thank you for this beautiful day, afternoon, this morning, and Lord, for the nerves that come with this. It's normal, and it's part of just anticipating something new. And God, we believe that you are in our bodies, in our emotions, in our nerves, but most of all in our hearts, in the souls that we have, that you've given us, in the Ruah, the Spirit of God that is in our hearts, in our bodies. So God, I pray that we can speak from that Ruah, from that God-breathed life. And thank you, yes, as we just read, for the trials that help us to intimately know you. Thank you, Lord. Help us to speak from that, and most of all, to encourage someone out there who's someone just like Elsie, someone just like Jake, someone just like me, that can hear this, watch this, and find hope and encouragement and support and know that they're not alone. Because you are with us, God. Fill this place with your presence, Lord. Fill this room, as in a Sunday morning, as in a Sunday night, with your presence. Let this time be a time of worship, a time of prayer, and a time of joy and of gozo, of peace, and most of all, of Advent, of waiting for the return or the arrival of Messiah, Emmanuel. You are with us, Lord Jesus. And we thank you. Thank you for Jake. Thank you again for Elsie. Thank you for my beautiful wife, Rochelle. Thank you for our kids, for David, for Isabella and Canela. Thank you for this home, for this studio, for this beautiful day. We rejoice in it and yes, be glad in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. All righty, man. Are we ready or what?
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Let's go. Okay, so we've been rolling, so that's awesome. So welcome, Elsie, to the Trick Podcast with Joy. How's it going?
Hey. Good. Good now that I'm here. So
that's right. Yeah,
yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
How was the drive here?
It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fine. Just no traffic. So we stayed in the area. We were visiting family and stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was a smooth ride.
Yeah, it hasn't been too well. We were at the airport, at my father-in-law's, you know, at the hospital in Cedar Sinai. It's
right.
In Beverly Hills. And it's nice once you're there, but getting there, oof, it's
crazy.
Quite the drive.
I was born there, actually.
You were?
Yeah, okay. I was. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of good memories.
It's a nice hospital.
Yeah. It really is.
They
yeah.
have good people there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's always, You know, it's always one of those things. Obviously, I love him. He's my wife's dad, and he's been my mentor to me. And it's always that's like awesome. You go there, obviously, with a lot of hope and like, okay, this is going to be great. But then it's hard to see the person kind of in the hospital.
Of course.
And you kind of come in with this positive, and then you get that shock of like, oh, wow, this is, you know, someone's in the hospital on the wires.
Yeah, you realize how serious it is, yeah.
You realize how serious mm-hmm. it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's an example of life, right? I mean, we just read how those serious moments, they draw us intimately closer to God.
Yeah.
And I know that that's true for all of us here. I have Jake here, by the way, your beautiful husband. So
he's
back there. Yeah. So welcome to the podcast as well, Jake.
Yes.
And so, you know, what I love about it, hearing the stories, especially of artistic types.
Yeah.
And you are a worshiper, a worship leader, you're a singer-songwriter, a vocalist, child of God, most of all.
Amen.
But yeah. What I love hearing, and I wanted to ask you just maybe a little bit of introduction.
Yeah.
You know, you, obviously, as I said, you're an artist. And would you say that empathy and emotions and being in touch with kind of your inner life helps you? Does it hinder you in terms of being a worshiper? How would you talk about that?
Oh, it helps me so much.
Okay.
Goodness. I know the two worlds of singing and ministering or just even performing without being in touch with who I really was.
Yeah.
And now I know the world of being a worshiper and a songwriter, now fully being in touch with who I am. And they are two completely different realms, you know. They really are. And I feel like, and obviously, you know, the more in touch you are with yourself, and like you said, the empathy inside of you, the just your true self, your soul, your spirit, you know, the ugly, the great, the wonderful, the flawed, all of
right.
it. When you're really in touch with that and you own that,
right.
you just conquer so much more as a worshiper. And I feel like you conquer more even as a songwriter for me, because I'm more honest. Like, I'm not afraid of just talking about what's wrong with me. And how is God so good in that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, it's helped me break through and figure out like where I need to be and who I really am as an artist and just as a worshiper unto the Lord, you know? So, yeah.
I was reading this thing that we just read. I want to read it again because it was so amazing. This
yeah.
quote, maybe we can use that kind of as a
launching Yeah, it was one thing
point.
In there that I wanted
okay.
to steal as a lyric.
Oh, okay. Well, great.
Where it
well,
said your strengths
okay.
are irrelevant, but your weaknesses are evident. I was like, dang, that's a lyric right there.
See, we're writing songs already.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Sarah Young, who wrote that, she's got bars.
Okay.
Because yeah. I was like, that's a good line.
Is that right?
And I thought, and it hit me immediately when you
okay.
said it.
Okay, tell me
like,
again,
whoa.
What's the line? And tell me how did it hit you?
Well, it said how, you know, there's been times, well, there's times you have trusted me where your strengths are irrelevant and your weaknesses are evident. And I'm like, whoa, isn't that like a daily thing, you know? And then to hear your strengths are irrelevant, you have to humble yourself to even receive that. Because we all have strengths, but our strengths are limited and they're finite compared to God, right? So me hearing that just immediately humbles me. Like, you know, no matter how strong this area might be in my life or how gifted or wonderful or skilled or, you know, it's like it's still limited beside the Lord, you know? And I can, if I give it to God, then he can do more with it than me, than myself. Apart from Jesus, I can do nothing, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just was like, whoa, yeah. That's a good line.
Now, let's talk about limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this year, or I'm sure even before this year, my guess is you have faced limitations.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, man, physically or mentally or
right.
whatever, emotionally. How... Tell me about limitations and what do you do when you're confronted with your limitations?
Well, I'm like, what does everybody do with limitations? I mean, it
yeah.
just depends on what it is. I mean, recently I was sick, so physically I was
right.
limited, right?
Exactly.
So praise God,
sad.
I'm fine now. It was hard,
yeah.
you know? And then I was suffering from tonsillitis and it was just terrible. I mean, it was just horrible. The pain was horrific. My husband almost had to rush me to the hospital. He was so worried, and I was kind of too, but
yeah.
you know, I had a moment with God, but I realized, you know, in that sometimes I feel like we can just like depend on our gifts to kind of affirm our identity, which is so reverse to what the word teaches us, right? There's nothing in the word that says your gifts make you feel great or make you know that you belong to Christ. That's not in the word, you know? So me not being physically able to sing and, you know, being sick and not being able to do, because I'm a doer, so, and I just go. So not being able to do much was frustrating, you know? And then not being able to sing, that's who I am, and that's how I, in a way, minister to myself a lot of times. Right. So to not be able to do that was, like, really frustrating, and I felt kind of robbed of, like, who I am, right? But I remember the Lord telling me, you know, just because I can't physically hear you singing doesn't mean I'm not hearing your heart right now. And I was like, yeah, you're right, you know, because I was getting so caught up in that it was really frustrating. And then even getting caught up in the fact that I couldn't serve, I couldn't minister, I couldn't, you know, because I love doing it. I know I'm called to do it, and I just thrive, and I'm so fulfilled when I do it, because I know I'm where I'm supposed to be, right? But at the same time, ministry or not, I'm a child of God, like you said. Yeah. I belong to Jesus. God loves me no matter what. No matter what I can or can't do, you know? And I think that's what I had to realize, what that limitation was. Even though I was limited temporarily, and thank God, God forbid, it couldn't have been for something, you know, right, future that would affect me long term or anything like that. And even if it did, you know, does that rob me of who I am in Christ? No, but if I allow that, you know what I mean? If I allow that to make me defeated, you know? So I think any time I have faced limitations, like, of course, our human reaction, you know, we get frustrated. We're like, you know, why is this happening? Or sometimes I even feel limited, like, with how I worship. I'm just, am I saying the right thing? Am I singing the right thing? Did I say enough? Did I not say enough? Did I say too much? You know, like, immediately questioning myself. And I feel like with that, when I second guess what I do, instead of just letting the Lord and the Holy Spirit reign in that moment, I end up limiting God and myself to really embracing and, like, just flourishing in that moment, you know? So I more and more, it's like my confidence has grown, you know, with how I worship. Oh my gosh, it's grown so much, because I used to hold back, I mean, on notes, on even projecting, like, my voice, because I was, like, just so timid and kind of, like, insecure, and, you know, and thank God I had, you know, my worship pastor, who passed now, rest in peace, but he was, like, my mentor, was like, he would tell me, gun it, Else, like, what are you waiting for, girl? Just, you know, just push it out there, like, sing, you need to sing that verse harder. I'm like, oh man. So, and I would, and then he would leave that space, and I wouldn't feel ashamed to do it, you know, because I would immediately feel ashamed, like, oh, I'm coming off too strong, you know. It's like that performance kind of mentality of, like, am I doing too much? I don't want to come off like I'm performing, you know, like I'm just showing off, you know. But I learned that there was a space to do that, that it was embraced, and that I could be me, you know, and I didn't know I could. So, yeah, so it's just any limitations I've faced, I'm so grateful God has literally orchestrated people to, like, make me aware of my limitations, but still find freedom that God is with me in that, and that he just does so much more beyond the limits, you know, if I let him do it, right, instead of just depending on myself. Yeah. So,
So thinking of mentors and the value of having someone who does encourage you or who frees you up.
Right.
Tell me more about maybe your worship pastor or just mentors, people that have kind of freed you. How has that made you feel, and how has that been for you?
It's just been amazing. I feel like who I am is the fruit of their labor. You know, I almost feel like, what did I do? Like, you know what I mean? Like, they did so much, like, just pouring into me, and you've poured into me as well, and even more so now that we've, like, built more relationship, and with Jake as well, my husband. I mean, you've been an awesome part too, you know? So, and I think the amazing thing is what I've learned with mentors is, first and foremost, my time with God, what is God saying to me? And is it confirming through everyone else? Not they tell me something and then I go back to God and, like, is that you? Like, I get the word first. I have to seek the Lord first. And what is God telling me right now in this season? And everyone else will confirm that, right? So, and I just felt like the more I made time for that with the Lord, and the more God kept setting up relationships around me, it just kept confirming where I was at. And I was like, oh, I'm really hearing you, Lord. I'm listening, you know, because I would, even that, I would second guess, like, okay, I know you told me this, but, and and it's funny because I'm a words of affirmation love language. So I need reassurance. So, and God is so kind, you know what I mean, to set people up that will reassure you, like verbally, because that feeds me, right? So I think you're a words of affirmation too. Yeah. I can tell, because I'm like, he's like so sweet, full of compliments, and I'm like, oh my God, I love you. Because and I love people like that, because I'm like that too, you know. Exactly. And my husband's one of those too, so I'm like, yes. Yeah. So, but I'm just so grateful because he really did set people around me that affirmed my gift and affirmed who I was in the Lord and affirmed what I was doing. And we're honest. Like, I didn't have people that were just constantly, you know, brushing me and hyping me up, you know, or putting me on a pedestal. I also had people tell me, like, probably shouldn't have done that, you know, and the accountability as well of just growing and being just straight up, being real, being honest and saying, hey, you know, you got to reel it back. Or, and that could have been musically, couldn't have been a character thing, you know. And I'm so grateful. There was just, I had so many people in my life from the very beginning of my walk, and I'm grateful I was humble enough to even receive that, you know what I mean, to receive that mentorship, that constant guidance. That, and I encourage that for anyone who's a new believer or new in the ministry, always have someone that's watching your back and helping you strive to where God's calling you, you know. And I feel like my walk wouldn't have gotten as far as it did. I wouldn't have matured. I wouldn't have grown. I'd probably be stuck and probably definitely would not be where I'm at right now, you know. So it all really just was such a blessing, you know. And even now, I'm just so grateful. I have just such a great support system, and I have honestly a handful of mentors and people that I can go to and say, hey, what do I need to change about this, or what do you think about that, or what's your opinion on this, what's your advice? Or, and there's been times where they've said stuff that I'm like, that is straight from God, I need to hear that, you know. So yeah.
Now, thinking of how you grew up, and mm-hmm. sometimes when we aren't affirmed, it can last for a lifetime.
Yeah,
kind of that need. Yeah. Tell me about your childhood. How would you consider your childhood?
Oh, my childhood was complicated. It wasn't, you know, I wouldn't say it was like terrible. I just had so much inner struggles, as a child, that I feel like I didn't have. Like, I didn't know it was safe to share. Like, I didn't know it was safe to, like, struggle. Does that make sense? So because I didn't know that was safe, it all just stayed inward, and I dealt with it, you know, and that didn't help me, you know, over time. And then at the same time, everyone else around me, my parents, family, people, whatever, it's like no one, people will do the best they can with what they can, and they didn't know how to help, right? So, but yeah, I mean, my childhood was, you know, just crazy. So, you know, I grew up in LA, South LA, in Hawthorne by Inglewood, went to school in Watts, you know, after I went to Hawthorne High, I mean, the hood, you know. Yeah. I'm a hood girl all the way. I'm like, I cannot live on a farm in a piece of land. That is just so not me. I love the busy life. I don't like how loud LA is, I will say that, because I love peace and quiet. But I'm used to it, you know, like the planes going over my house, and because we lived like 4 miles from LAX. So, and, you know, heard gunshots. I mean, we heard everything, you know, and there was no like fear, you know. I never walked at night, though. Never walked at night.
Mom and dad together,
so,
were they married?
Yeah. So my parents were married. Yeah. My parents were married. And my older brothers, you know, they lived with us and stuff. They went through a lot of trials when they were young. So along with that, you know, my brothers were just kind of in and out of like my younger brother's life. I had an older sister too, but she lived a lot further away and had kids already. So, and these are all half siblings, but we were all so close. So it didn't feel like we were half siblings, you know? And so, yeah, so I just know my brothers, you know, they were in and out of my life, and it was chaotic, and they've been users most of my life, substance abuse, and, in trouble with the law, and, you know, they would be gone, and I would think that, like, I didn't know where they were. We kind of joke in our family that like they were in college, but they weren't in college. So my mom tells me that, like, she used to tell us that, because we don't know what prison or jail is. So my mom's like, they're in college, that's why they're not here. So, and the joke now, I'm just like, yeah, private university, everybody wears orange, you know. Like, yeah, it's so funny. But, you know, so, you know, it was just like, it was tough, because I, you know, I really was close to my brothers a lot. So them not being around was hard. My dad was a workaholic, super hardworking, but I was super tight with my dad since I was little, so close to my dad. Pretty close to my mom too, but my dad was just like, stole my heart, you know. Super daddy's girl. Hold on to my dad's pants everywhere he walked when I was like 3. You know, he'd dance with me. I'd stand on his shoes and he'd help me dance. Just, you know, sweet stuff like that. I mean, we had such a great childhood. You know, I would say up till we were like about 5 or 6 years old, but things started changing, you know. A lot of things started changing, you know. My brothers, it was really hard being a blended family. My brothers were just going through so much. They were hurting and dealing with a lot in themselves, and they were young adults. So
your mom remarried, or she had, or was it your dad who had other kids?
Yeah, those were his kids. So we became a blended family, gotcha. Right?
So
then they had. So he was a single dad of 3. So yeah, raised 3 boys and everything. And right before I was born, you know, my dad lost his son, who was about 14 years old, to leukemia. So that was tragic. My mom and dad were engaged at the time, so a lot of things transpired. So, you know, then my brother and I came into the picture, and, you know, our older brothers, when they were in trouble, when they were in trouble, they babysit us. Right. So, but that's why we, you know, like, we got so close with them, because, you know, I loved spending time with them. So anyways, you know, I think just a lot happened, just a lot of things that were out of my control, you know. But in elementary school, you know, I got bullied a lot in school. So for a words of affirmation person, the worst thing ever. I mean, just it. I really do believe I was struggling a lot with depression when I was little. And I didn't discover that till later, because I think my depression hit the peak at middle school when I was a teenager. Because, you know, you're the adolescent stage, you're discovering yourself, and your body changes, your mind changes, your everything changes. So then it's just heightened even more. And but when I was that little, yeah, I mean, I struggled with identity. You know, I just was bullied so much, brutally. Had a friend, didn't have a friend. They're my friend one day. I don't want to be your friend because you're ugly. I mean, literally being told things like that as like a child, you know, think like just random. Being cut in line, and I felt like I had to fend for myself constantly, you know. I remember one time, oh my God, it's so funny when I laugh about it now, but this girl cut me in line, and I told her, hey, you cut me. And she's like, so? And she pushed me. So then we got in this big old fight, and I shoved her, and she had these horrible long nails, and she slapped me, and I still have the scar. She's cut my face. And then I come into school looking like Nelly with a big old band. Face. Oh my God, it cracks me up now, but I don't think I realized how traumatic that was for me as a kid. Like, I didn't feel safe to have friends. So I started doing sports, and I was kind of a tomboy, and all my friends were guys. So then the bullying got worse. Like, they're calling me transgender, lesbian, you're a she-man, you're always with the guys, and you're never gonna have a boyfriend. Horrible stuff, right? So, I'm so grateful, because I still, even though all of that didn't stop me from doing sports, I was doing football, I was doing soccer, and I was good at it. So I just kept doing it, you know, and it kind of made like the girls scared of me. So it was kind of an advantage at the time. So yeah. So then going into middle school, you know, same thing, was still into sports and stuff. And again, trying to figure who I am. And then discovering that gang violence was a thing, you know, I saw a lot of gangs in school, and younger kids, because their older cousin was in a gang, they're getting in a gang. And, you know, like, even young kids were already getting tattoos, and we're like 12, 13 years old. So, you know, and just so much was happening, you know, even sexual orientations were happening. Like, some girls were saying, oh, I like girls and boys. And all of that stuff was just so confusing. Like, it was so, it brought so much confusion, you know, into me, because I'm like, I don't know what's right and what's wrong. But I'm so grateful, because I feel like I always had this kind of moral compass in myself. And I really believe God gave me that as a gift, because I always had conviction about who I had in my life. And I always had conviction about what I was doing. Like, even though everyone else was doing it, I could not sleep on it. Like, I would just not have peace. When I look back now, I'm just like, that was kind of that thread of grace that followed me, you know, and kind of kept me, you know, even though I was still making mistakes and I was young and naive, God was still kind of speaking to me in that way, you know, and telling me, hey, don't do that, stay away from there, you know. So yeah, so then just being that young, you know, things really increased. It got worse when my parents separated. They were fighting, and then a lot fell on me at like 12 years old, you know, once my dad had left didn't show up, didn't come back home one night, and it was just, that was it. And my parents were separated and stuff, and then found out that, you know, that they weren't going to work out and that their divorce was starting, and it was just brutal. You know, I remember my brother and I used to cry together to sleep because we were so traumatized. I mean, we loved our parents. So it was kind of like, what just happened? You know, we didn't know. And yeah, and that's when a lot of things heightened, and I just was getting involved with the wrong people. I looked older since I was young, so I would sneak into places and go to parties, get drinks, and that went all the way to high school. And then eventually just sleeping around, having every boyfriend and every horrible friend that I could have, and it just got worse from there, you know? And even just, especially my mental health got worse from there. But as young as 7 years old, I always journaled and I always songwriting. And I really believe, even though I didn't know the Lord, I believe that really kept me, you know? Because after a horrible day at school, or after who knows what happened, if a boyfriend broke up with me, and, you know, I just would write. I would just write and cry and hear songs that would minister to me, and I'd listen to them on the piano, and then I'd learn it and just by ear, and just learn all these songs. And through all that time, you know, even when my dad left, my dad discovered I had a gift of music. So he was constantly coaching me, you know, even through what happened with our parents separating, he was still like pushing me, you know, musically. He just always knew I had that gift, but I just, again, it was like my secret thing. Like, I'm going to write and do my little thing, but I don't want to tell nobody that I sing like that, you know? So, yeah. But then I had an opportunity in high school, and I had an amazing music teacher who I just still love to this day. And she, you know, obviously saw I had a voice and would always make me solo and always make me do the national anthems at school. And I was just like, oh, no. You know, it was like so cringing, but I'm grateful she did that, you know, because she saw something in me and she believed in me. And I did that for about 4 years in high school. But again, it was like, that was my dream. But at the same time, I was, you know, just doing everything. I mean, just drinking, smoking, and living it up. And, you know, and I had situations happen to me. I got sexually abused several different times, raped after a party by an ex-boyfriend. I mean, a lot of things happened that I didn't expect, you know. And I think for me, what has helped me, like, just heal from, like, so many things that happened to me from a young age was also owning the fact of how was I an element in my suffering? Like, because there was choices I could have made different, you know? Right. But, yeah, but then there's the grace part of, like, I was young, I was naive, I didn't know, you know? But owning that and forgiving myself set me free. Because there was so much guilt I was carrying for things I did, you know.
How was that process of forgiving yourself?
Honestly, just a lot of crying and a lot of prayer and a lot of just saying it, you know, just confessing that. Lord, I forgive myself for my ignorance. I forgive myself for allowing certain things, for, you know, and some things weren't like out of my control, like me being sexually abused was out of my control.
So
you know what I mean?
Have that faith with God.
Yeah, well, later. Yeah, this was after I came to the Lord. So, yeah. But before I came to the Lord, you know, that wasn't there yet. I mean, I hadn't even forgiven myself yet. So, after my dad left, not even a year later, maybe 8 months later, my grandma died. A month later, my other grandma died. 3 months later, the pastor of our old church died. And we were kind of a church-going family, kind of not. So, I wasn't really raised in church. I didn't know what ministries were. There was no youth. Everybody was like 40 and up with just a piano and right. Singing hymns, you know. It was super Baptist.
Yeah.
And I loved it. Like, I just, like, loved hearing their harmonies and the piano. I just thought it was the most beautiful thing. Yeah. But I didn't know anything about ministry. So, it's like, it was kind of like, where do I belong? Where do I fit in? Like, my brother and I were, like, the only youth, you know. So it was just very different, right? But, you know, after all those losses and stuff, just back to back, just the anger, the hatred for myself, for people, especially my parents, like I had such a hatred, you know? And I think it's because I really, really loved them, and the opposite of love is hate. It switched, you know? But it was really because I wanted them to do what was right, and I wanted to feel loved and accepted. You know,
so like if they had done the right thing, you wouldn't have had to go through all this stuff.
Yeah, I could. Yeah. You know, I blamed them. Right.
I mean, it is blame. But
yeah.
It's just,
It was a blame. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was feeling.
Meaning, like, how did you deal with that?
Well, I didn't. Yeah. You know, at the time, yeah. I didn't deal with that at all.
How did it show up in your life?
It definitely showed up in anger. I mean, I just was constantly having outbursts. Yeah. You know, just destroying my room, screaming and crying. And that's when a lot of the anxiety and depression was heightening, about 16, 17. And I started to become very suicidal. You know, I started hearing voices. I started seeing things, demonic, you know. I was just so severely oppressed, And I was about to drop out of school because I had like a 1.7 GPA. It was horrible. I was missing so many classes and credits. I just kept failing classes. I mean, all of that was showing up, you know. And of course, you know, like teachers were concerned, you know, why are you failing your classes? What's really going on? And then I would tell them, you know, my parents have been fighting. They're, you know, pretty much divorced, and it's just been horrible. You know, it's just been horrible. And then I didn't have a good relationship with my mom because she was hurting and I was hurting, so we were just constantly clashing at each other. And then I, because my mom worked so much, now being a single mom, I took on a lot, just having to clean and having to cook and teach myself and help my younger brother, and, you know, also trying to be the good influence because I'm the big sister. It was just pressure, like everywhere. And so I just felt like I had no escape. I felt like a prisoner in my mind and in my even my environment, you know. I just felt like I had no space to even think, to even feel. And so that's why I think that's why I took such advantage of songwriting at a young age. But then I realized once that oppression was just increasing, once I was 16, 17, you know, I had just went through a breakup. I was in sports. I did a track and field. I got hit in the head with a discus, a big metal disc, and I had to leave the season, you know, because I obviously got hurt. I went to Cedar Sinai.
Oh, yeah.
It was at the Beverly Hills High School, okay. And we were practicing, and, you know, a disc hit me in the head, and my head split open, and it was an emergency. I mean, it was just so much happened, and after that, I think my depression just got so much worse.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, and then I just became suicidal, and then that's where I had an encounter with God. 5 times I tried to take my life.
Tell me about the encounters with God. What was the first time, or how did that happen?
I didn't really encounter, again, that conviction in me was like, this isn't the right thing to do, but I kept ignoring it because all out of anger and rebellion. And that was a point where I was, I knew I had that, and I didn't like that inner voice. I didn't like it.
What did it say?
To not do it, or don't go with this friend, or don't go to this situation. Like, I just, and I knew that was God in me somehow. Remember this, they sent me to a psychologist or social worker or something that was there. I didn't even know that we had one at the school. Never seen them in my life. And she had me kind of do this quiz or like this test or whatever. And I was like critical, like stage 4 depression. Like, and she was telling me, she's like, you know, I see nothing but sadness in your eyes. And I just wept when she said that to me. And she was telling me, you know, you really need help. Like, you need to tell your parents what's going on and they can get you help. And I was thinking, I'm not going to tell them that. I don't even want to talk to them, you know? So I just was just really dealing with it on my own. And so finally, you know, right when I was, before I was about to do that, I remember I had this balcony. We lived in an apartment complex and I had like a 30-foot balcony and I had this sliding door and I slid it open and told myself, I'm just going to jump and just hang myself. I don't care. I just didn't care. It was just the craziest thing when I look back, but man. And I remember before I did that, I'm telling you, I was so set, and so it was like seconds before I was just gonna run and do it. And I remember sitting there on my bed, the minute I sat down, I heard this voice literally enter my room, and it wasn't this thundering, you know, God just showed up, but it was just this quiet voice all of a sudden broke through. I was in the middle of thinking, you know, about all this, and it cut off my thinking. And I heard this small voice tell me, this is not my plan for your life. And that shook me to the core. I mean, I was so scared. I was like, what the heck was that? That was not me, because I was in the middle of thinking. So I was like, where did that just come from, you know? And I started, and God gave me a vision of my funeral at like 16, 17 years old, of my family just crying and seeing what it was going to do to everyone. And then I thought I was going crazy, because I was like, whoa, 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 like, what is happening right now? Because I had no more remorse. I had no more remorse in myself, no more empathy, anything, of just how I was feeling. So then all of a sudden that conviction started to rise and, wait, I'm really going to hurt people doing this, and I'm going to hurt myself, and I don't even know, you know? It just was like this, the, just this kind of epiphany of like, wait a minute, am I making the right decision, you know?
Did you see your mom, your brother, everything.
Like, it was like I saw my whole family just, what did we do wrong? Like, just so much regret and guilt. Like, so much was happening, like, just what I was seeing. And then even just seeing myself, like, I wasn't even sure of like my salvation. Like, I was like, I don't really know where I'm gonna end up. Is there a hell? Is there a heaven? I don't, like, I was starting to question those things. And
you,
I
had some faith already,
right?
Some church knowledge,
yeah, very faint. But it's like, right, I didn't know Jesus died for me. I just thought he was some prophet that walked the earth one day, like, but I thought that was just a historical thing. I didn't think that applied to me at all, you know,
right,
that he was God in the flesh. So mm-hmm. Yeah, so then I just remember once that happened, you know, then I felt like I couldn't sleep, like, because it freaked me out, you know. And then
it stopped me.
And I remember not long after that, you know, my mom took me to the doctor, and the doctor said, you know, we're gonna have to have her assessed. I didn't even know what that meant. And we came home, and these people came and said, you're gonna have to pack a bag and come with us. And on the other end, I didn't realize my mom was kind of signing my life away, was like telling, and she, it was hard for her as a mother because she wants to care for me and be here for me during this time. But she knew if she didn't, I was going to die. I mean, I was honestly going to die. Any day I could have just taken my life again, and then that would have been it. So, and then I got taken to a psychiatric ward and saw so much in there, a lot of stuff that was like sad. I mean, just like horrible. I mean, seeing people, teens in worse positions than I was.
So it shook you out of it kind of in some ways to see such.
Yes and no. I mean, it just, again, it awakened like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, am I really going crazy? Am I really labeled crazy now? Am I, you know, I didn't want to be that,
right,
you know? And I just knew there was something that needed to change me. You know, that was like my cry. It was just like, I need a remedy. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And so when I got out of the hospital after 2 weeks, which felt like a month, it felt like forever,
yeah,
I got out and started therapy. And again, I still was like, this is kind of helping me, but it's kind of not. Like, it just, I knew there was something that needed to happen in myself. And I remember I started, so then I started saying, let me just try this praying thing. I don't even know what praying is, but I guess I'll just try it. And I was behind on school. I got transferred to a different school in Watts. And I started making up my classes. Like, I started praying over my homework, and I ended up graduating on honor roll, which was a miracle.
Just out of resolve, like, I'm gonna
just
do it right.
Yeah, now. Just like, let me just, I need to just try and get my life back, yeah, you know? And I felt like, because I was praying over my homework, like, and just, yeah, like praying, like, Lord, please let me pass this test, yeah, or God, if you're there, you know, I didn't know what to say. And,
sure,
you know, and again, I was still, music was still like a huge thing that carried me, right? But yeah, and then I ended up graduating high school, the first really in my family to even get a diploma.
And
I got honors 3 months in a row, like, which was like a miracle. It just cracks me up when I look back. But yeah, I graduated like a 3-point-something GPA. It was great. Yeah, it was crazy. But that too was kind of God's grace in there, you know? And, but again, I was still finding myself. And so something told me to move. I knew I was going to move. And then my dad came back in my life, asked for forgiveness, told us, you know, I want you back in my life. There was so much you guys didn't understand or knew at the time that I couldn't tell you because you were young. And I knew I failed you. Like, my dad told me that. And it was just an amazing moment. And he told me, you're totally welcome to move in with me. And I was like, that's the move. I was kind of feeling like something's going to happen, right? So my dad told me, you can move in with me, you know, just go to school or get a job, whatever, just do something, you know, with your life after you graduate, because you need to start, you know, adulting. So, yeah. And then I went to church one time with my aunt, and that was it. I mean, I felt like every demon that I was carrying on my back and every hurt and every broken part of me was just done. Just broken off. And I fell in love with the Word of God. I fell in love with worship, the Word of God was just like, it just beamed at me. Like, everything I read, I was like, this is everything I've been looking for, you know? And I felt like that's what helped me through anxiety too, because I was still struggling a lot with anxiety. And I would read that scripture from 1 John 4 or 5, 1 John 5, that perfect love casts out fear. You know, that fear involves those that are dealing with torment. But if you, and if you do fear, you are not made perfect in love. And I was realizing more and more, I need God's love, you know, to set me free from fear. Because I knew fear had followed my life. Fear was the root of my depression. Fear was the root of my anxiety. It was the root of PTSD. It was the root of it all.
Fear of what?
Just fear of, like, not belonging, of not, like, of, does God really love me, you know? And that was all fear. Like, there was just no confidence of, like, because I didn't know the Lord, you know? But once I did, it's just, like, was more and more healing me and healing me and healing me. And then my dad and I were trying to rebuild a relationship, and that came with a ton of arguments because we missed, like, 8-7 years of even being in each other's lives. So he was a different person. I was a different person. And when my dad couldn't fulfill that fatherly, like, love I needed, I would just run. I ran to God. I would just close the door and just fall on my face and just say, Lord, I need you. Like, I just need you to pour that daddy love I need right now. My dad's not doing it, so I need you. You know, my mom's not doing it, so I need you. You know, it just, and I gave up everything. You know, I had some boyfriend at the time. I was like, I'm sorry, I'm serving the Lord, I'm out. And I just cut everything off. And I fasted a lot too when I was a new believer. And I feel like that really, like, broke off so much off of me. You know, and so, and when I look back, it's like, that's why I'm a believer in singleness too, because before I was married, now I just really served the Lord and just gave my all to Jesus. And I really asked God to fulfill every part of me. And I feel like if I did not have to do that, I would not have a good marriage right now. I probably wouldn't even want marriage or even want to be married. And not only that, it's like, I wouldn't really be thriving, like, as a believer, you know, I'd just be surviving like everyone else. And I didn't want that. I was like, I want God to fulfill every part of my life. And I want to be content and enjoy, like, where I am, you know? And I really got a grasp of that. I just was so, like, blessed and was just like, you know, if I never have kids, if I never get married, it's okay. I was totally, like, and I thought that would never happen. Right. You know, I thought, like, oh my gosh, like, I couldn't even live without having a guy in my life, you know, before. And I couldn't live without even just having people. And I learned a lot of that. I did Celebrate Recovery too. And that, I've been doing Celebrate Recovery for like 4 years now. Now coming on 8 years of just serving the Lord all in. I'm like, wow, 8 years. It's like crazy how time flies. But all of that, you know, just having that time with God, serving the Lord. I started doing ministry, became a ministry intern, became, you know, started teaching the Word of God. And it was just all a privilege. It was all a privilege, because when I look back, I'm just like, God really does use the foolish things to shame the wise. Because I was just like, man, I was so foolish. Like, Mary Magdalene had nothing on me. I've had way more demons than her. You know, I was so oppressed. I mean, it's just, when I look back, I'm like, I never would have thought I'd be worship leading now. I never would have thought I'd be even talking about the Word of God or even being in church, any of that. Like, I didn't think that it could even exist in my life. You know, it just was completely opposite. So, you know, when I look back, it's just, I'm so grateful for where I am right now. So,
and it makes sense now why your worship is so honest and authentic and clear.
Yeah.
So that people can have that guidance that you received.
Yeah.
And all the songs that we're about to record and over the next few weeks, and hopefully here soon, people will be able to hear this album. What are you thinking, I guess, moving a little bit to the music? And maybe we'll have to do a second episode on just the music, because I think that might be another amazing story.
Yeah.
But moving kind of at least a little bit towards that, what's the theme of this album that you're working on, and how does it relate perhaps to some of these things we're talking about?
Yeah, so, oh man, so, goodness, it's funny, because I just feel like it's just been a long time coming, because, man, so many people knew I sang for so many years, and knew I wrote, and I was a songwriter and everything, and it's like, when I tell people now, they're like, finally, you're like putting out something, you know? And it just, it was all with myself, you know? I just had to believe in myself and believe with what God gave me. And just knowing that, you know, I'm not enough, but he's enough, and that's all right, you know? And that has really brought me to where I am. And yeah, so with this whole project, you know, I'm trying to release an EP. I'm calling it Pieces of My Heart. And Pieces of My Heart was the first, like, legit actual song I wrote when I was about 13. And that was a pivotal time. You know, my parents had separated. I was really depressed and struggling in school and just not really having, just, I didn't feel like I had anyone, you know, in my life. And so, yeah, so just even with that, and it really goes on to just talking about like how my heart was literally in pieces and how God put it back together, you know, and he put every part back together, and he still is, you know.
That's right, yeah.
He's just refining it, you know. So and then there's other songs on there that do talk about my dad and how he passed, you know. And man, that's just gonna be such a emotional album, because I feel like I've told you that every song in that EP album, whatever, I don't even know what to call it, but mini album. But every song in that EP is just like fragments of struggles that I've been in. Loss, grief, anxiety, depression, just being mentally down, beating up on yourself, struggling with self-hatred. You know, it's just like everything you can think of that we all struggle with, like it's pretty much going to be in there.
Yeah.
You know, and then just talking about how God affirms our identity. Like, this is who we are. Like, who am I? I am now a child of God. You know, and I know the song that we've been working on too. What's it called? I forget what it's called. Building Up Again.
Building Up Again.
Yes. I know, like, you, like, we can't remember. Building Up Again. But, you know, like how I've talked to you about that verse, that second verse of just, you know, no longer an orphan. I have been taken. The Father's heart is now my home. Because I struggled with feeling like an orphan a lot of my life, just feeling very lonely. And so, you know, just even in that, just those truths are just, man, like they will just help break down, you know, any kind of strongholds that we all deal with, you know, of just feeling like you don't belong, feeling like you don't have, you know. And I don't think people realize how much just like upbringing in our story really shapes us, and it will leave good or bad marks, you know what I mean, on our mind and our heart. And I'm just so grateful that a lot of the big stuff, like, man, God really has healed in me, you know. And he still is. I mean, he still is. I mean, and I'm so grateful. It's like now I can examine myself, and I feel like even these songs, when I sing my songs, they make me re-examine myself, you know, of just, oh, you know, I don't really struggle with that anymore. Praise God. And then other things, oh, I'm still dealing with that. Okay. I need to, you know, just focus in on that and take it to prayer and take it to the Lord healing me, you know. So, yeah, I want these songs and this project to just, for myself, I want it to reveal that this is who I am. You know what I mean? That I am not perfect, and I am not, you know, I'm not qualified. Doesn't even matter. You know, it's just, I'm just willing, and I want others to experience the healing and the freedom and the, just the grace of God, you know, that I've experienced. And to just feel also emotionally free, because we all can subconsciously just like shove things down, you know what I mean? And this is also a project that's going to bring things to the surface for other people. And it has brought the surface for me, myself, you know. You know, I feel like that's why we go through things in life. You know, after I lost my dad, music was awakened even more, because that was a pain that I didn't expect, and it was a pain that like shook me to the core. You know, I thought the suicide was horrible. I mean losing my dad, you know, and him passing suddenly was like, whoa. I mean, you know, it awakened everything, and it took me back to like that orphan little girl again that I thought I had really dealt with, and I didn't, you know. And I'm almost glad that God allowed it, because he was trying to get my attention in a deeper way.
Yeah.
You know, and more in this walk, you know, our heart's like an onion. The closer you get to that core, the more you're going to cry, you know. Okay, right. And it's true, because it's just layer by layer. God is just doing a work, you know, in us. And so I just feel like more and more in my life, he's doing a work in me, just layer by layer, if I let him, you know. And every day I'm grateful. I do feel like I'm really letting him now, you know. And it's uncomfortable. It's not that great. But, man, it's just the peace that I have in my life right now, and the blessings I have in my life right now, the gratefulness. I'm just so grateful. It's like when I look at my life, I'm just like, this is so the Lord. I could not have done this. I am not that powerful. You know what I mean? God is just, he does so much for us, way more than we can expect. He answers exceedingly and abundantly, you know, above all that we ask. And he really has in my life. So
that's right.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, I can't wait to see this project come into life. Yeah. And to, I think, as I said, yeah, we're going to have to do at least one more, if not a couple more episodes, to talk about the music.
Yeah.
But if you, if you're out there and you are relating to Elsie's story, this project is for you, because it's going to come out of this life, this real life that was lost and now is found, that didn't know what right was, and now she has found the righteous one. His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So I can't wait for it. And thank you so much, Elsie. You are amazing. I'm so proud of this story and the strength that you've had to overcome and to find the true lover of your soul. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
And to do the right thing, even though there have been so many opportunities to do the opposite.
Right.
But I'm very proud of you. And I can't wait to see more of the music come out and touch the lives of people out there, young girls, young Elsies, and young and old, and all kinds of people that will relate to your story. So tell us a little bit about, maybe just one last question is, how can people find out more about the project? Where can they kind of stay in touch with you as you begin to get your music out there?
Yeah, well, I have social media, so thank God for that.
Amen.
So I do have Facebook, so it's under Elsie Abriana Alvarado.
Okay.
So you can just type in my name, add me, whatever. And then I'm on Instagram, Elsie Aubrey, A-B-R-I underscore.
Okay.
So Elsie Aubrey is my artist name.
Great.
So, yeah. And then I think that's it. YouTube. Yeah. I have a YouTube
that's
under Elsie Abriana Alvarado as well.
Okay.
You can put in Elsie Aubrey, A-B-R-I, and you'll still find me there. You'll find some of my music I've done too. So I'm all over YouTube.
Great.
Instagram, Facebook. And I'll be posting, you know, about this project and tagging Mr. Trigg over here. So
Can't wait.
So yeah, you guys will definitely be updated. I know more and more, especially the next few months, like there's going to be a lot more being put out.
That's
so,
right. Yeah. I can't wait. And we'll put all those links at the bottom of this video. So you guys can just go there and click and definitely follow her on Instagram for more of this amazing music. I can't wait to hear you sing. And we're actually going to go and do some of that now. So I guess pause here and then maybe start again, I don't know, next time, so we can keep talking about the music. But thank you, Elsie, for being here.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
All right, we'll see you guys later, and thanks so much for being here. Until next time. Bye-bye.